What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up, that would be your Tuesday on B&E. This is Z reporting that he would put a muzzle on his toddler, too. No, I would not put a muzzle.
No, he didn't say that.
No. No, just a leash.
And I didn't say you people at the kiosks at Costco, either. I didn't put you any people. You people.
Oh, yeah.
You know those people that stop off and go around and come back down the aisle and go eat again. Those people.
This fella says, keyword E is now socially acceptable. Well, I was just 20 years ahead of my time with the leash at the mall. A lot to get into. I think if you're a Longhorn fan, you're disappointed about the loss last night, but at the same time, you're okay that you went through that gauntlet of four games against top 10 teams and split, went 2-2. But let's get you caught up on how the Longhorns got there. The game last night in Lawrence, Kansas, the last of those four against top 10, goes to the Jayhawks. Let's get to the news. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, heavyweight battle last night in the Big 12. It was 5th-ranked Texas, 8th-ranked Kansas, and in the end, the Jayhawks defend their home floor with an 88-80 win. Kansas built a 14-point first-half lead thanks in large part to Texas turnovers. That led to transition buckets. The Horns cut the lead to 7 by the intermission and once again came out strong in the first 4 minutes of the second half and cut the lead down to 2. It was 52-50 with 13 minutes to go, but Kansas immediately went on a quick 6-0 run. Pushed it back up to 8, then a 7-0 run shortly after. Pushed it to 13, and they closed it out from there. Jayhawks turned 15 Texas turnovers into 18 points, and they also outscored the Longhorns on the fast break points, 24-8 for a disappointed Rodney Terry.
Well, I thought, again, we could have done a better job, obviously, taking care of the basketball. They came out and played with a great sense of urgency to start the game. Just valiant taking care of the ball. When you're on the road, you can't beat yourself in that regard. And I thought we had too many of those type of plays early in the game. We gave them second chance points as well, offensive rebounds. But give our guys a lot of credit. We came out in the second half. We buckled down. We put some stops together. And we put ourselves right back in position to be in position to win this game tonight.
Kansas gets the win. Both teams at 19-5 overall. Texas remains atop the Big 12 at 8-3. Kansas now 7-4. Marcus Carr led the Longhorns with 29. Texas will play West Virginia this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. Also in college hoops last night, how about 19th-ranked Miami? They hammered Duke 81-59. In the NBA, all three Texas teams were in action. Only Dallas posted a win. They await the arrival of Kyrie Irving later this week. They took down Utah 124-111. Spurs got walloped by Chicago. And Houston got smoked by Sacramento. NFL Super Bowl opening night out in Arizona last night. It used to be media day. Now it's a prime time event. Chiefs and Eagles meeting with the assembled media to discuss the big game on Sunday. A lot of great storylines, including the first time ever. Two Texas high school quarterbacks will face off in a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts was a Channel View High Falcon back in the day. Played for his father outside of Houston. Patrick Mahomes grew up outside of Tyler, where he started White House High School. Was a Wildcat there in White House, Texas.
We say Texas high school football is the best in the country. The way that we put people out, I mean, at every single position, the way high school football is talked about and played and how many people show up to the games, it's the best high school football in the country. And so I'm glad that we're on the national stage now, and you got two guys from Texas that want to go out there and win a football game.
NFL elsewhere, Minnesota Vikings have hired former Miami head coach Brian Flores to be their new defensive coordinator. In golf, they had to play into Monday out of Pebble Beach, but it was Justin Rose posting a final round 66 to win the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It's his first PGA Tour victory in 4 years for Rosie. This week, the tour will tee off down the road from the Super Bowl at the Waste Management Open there in Phoenix. Tremendous field, 23 of the top 24 players in the world will tee it up.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Where the guys at Pebble Beach looked a little bit warmer yesterday.
It looked like a beautiful day. They got a little bit of everything this weekend. Cold and rainy and then beautiful yesterday. You know what they'll get in the desert this weekend?
I'm going to have to say that. I don't have a lot of bucket lists, things that I we all say bucket lists, but we know we're probably never getting to them. That place I'd like to go play around the golf.
And Scottsdale?
Yeah. Pebble Beach. Forget Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to go see the blondes, I'll just go out to Scottsdale for that event because there are more blondes, E, at that golf tournament, the Waste Management. When we went out there a couple years ago, it was incredible. Everybody was blind.
Feels like it.
I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was in the beautiful desert course there in Scottsdale and a good spot. Now, interesting that you were out last week when the news came down that it looks like this year's WGC Dell Match Play be the last one.
Yes.
Last one at ACC. Disappointing, you know.
The calendar's changing a little bit for the PGA. And the members are giving up their golf course.
2 months?
Or
longer?
They play a lot of money. They pay a lot of money. And those guys play a lot of golf, and those ladies, and they want their club.
Yeah, it's done great things for ACC and its exposure. But you're right. If you're paying the number you're paying to be a member there, and there's a waiting list for it, too, so a lot of people want to pay that number. But, yeah, you lose your golf course, and you lose your golf course during some of the best weather times of the year.
You're right.
You know, if you're a member of a golf club, you're thinking spring? March and April.
Oh, my goodness.
In Texas, they're going to be when you're going to play the most golf, and that's when that course is closed down to members. I know they give them access out of Barton Creek, and they've got other options, but that's your home course. Also, I mean, I think the whole, as I talked about last week, Buck, I think the whole idea of the match play event's going to be gone. There's not going to be a match play event on
tour.
Now,
that's the part that stinks.
Yeah, because it looks like the Shell, they don't have a sponsor yet. I call it the Shell Houston Open because it was the Shell Houston Open for so long. But the Houston Open with Houston Astros owner Jim Crane pushing this, it looks like they're going to jump into that spot on the calendar. Crane's been pushing. You know, they now have that Memorial Park course completely redone and PGA Tour ready. They've had that event in November the last couple years, but they're ready to move it into the spring. And it's going to go back to just an 18-hole, 72-hole event ahead of the Masters. And Dell will, you know, the match play will be off. And I don't think, you know, that there's only one other WGC tournament left, that World Golf Championship, and that's an event in China. I don't even think they're playing. They haven't played it since COVID. Yeah, China. They haven't even played it since COVID. So, and I don't think they anticipate being on the calendar.
Well, that's good for Houston.
It is.
I didn't like when the Shell Open disappeared.
Agreed. Agreed. I hate it for Austin, and, you know, but we understand.
Because that was a part of the Texas swing, right?
Yeah. And I
Valero.
You know, yeah, Shell, and give Jim Crane credit. He's really invested a lot of his own dollars in the Astros Foundation. He's got another one down there because you know, Memorial Park's really cool. It's right in downtown Houston. It's in Memorial Park itself. It's a really nice course. That'll be a good spot. And, you know, Houston back on the golf map for sure. I mean, he used to be out the Woodlands for a long, long time. Then they played there in the Humble area. But, yeah, that'll be cool. But, yeah, unfortunate for Austin that this year. If you haven't been to the Dell Match Play and you've never been out there,
go check it out.
Go check it out because we've been out there, Buck. We got to see Tiger Woods out there.
Great place.
Got to see Scottie Scheffler win the event last year, which is really cool. Jordan Spieth is typically a fan favorite. But, you know, we also know at the Match Play event by Sunday you got like four guys walking around. It's not great television. And even if you're out there as a spectator, but to get to the fun days are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, for sure.
When all 64 players are playing and you got a lot to see, by the weekend it kind of fizzles out.
It's a party by the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Ty's been to every one, and he doesn't remember a single one of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Remember falling down the hill, the par five?
Did you ever fall down the hill?
No, I have some good pictures of me in the middle of the fairway, though. You know,
doing snow
just hanging
angels.
Out. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great event. I mean, when you're looking at as Austin becomes a professional city for some professional sports, I mean, to lose that, it hurts. But boy, if you can't understand the members that pay their money and that are golfers that love to play golf,
Barton Creek will get something.
And they're rich dudes, so you know, rich dudes like their golf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get their way.
Why can't I mean Barton Creek has multiple courses? So
yeah, I just don't know if it fits.
I bet an LPGA event is the next one here.
Well, I think the LPGA is going out to Horseshoe Bay at some time.
Would that be good?
Which I think is fantastic. I mean, that's kind of designed. I mean, and those are okay walking courses. I mean, you got to be able to have your fans walk. That's the thing. And ACC is a nice walking course, but there are some around here that are not.
It's a hilly walking course. I remember the first year we did the ACC thing, and it was Dell Match Play, and all these ladies got out there in their like high heels and their wedges. That was not working going
up
and down
Tom
those hills.
Tom Herman, as a matter of fact.
Oh yeah, Tom Herman.
No, that was the second meeting of Tom Herman. We went over to meet Tom Herman with his tight shorts on and his stuff hanging. Remember, we went over to meet that dude.
Stuff hanging.
Yeah.
Huh. Which one? Are you talking about the golf tournament or at the office?
No, at his office with his legs all kicked up and stuff. I'm like, yo, dude.
Yeah.
Nice impression there.
It was so funny, though, Ty, that you were at the first one when all these the Westlake ladies showed up in their high heels and they're trying to go from the second hole down to the third hole.
No, yeah.
Down a hill.
You see a few people sliding down the hills on their butts.
Oh, yeah. And you got ladies taking their shoes off and carrying them. It was pretty funny.
That's why I stick to
Wear your flats.
I stick to the Dell Club area.
Oh, yeah, you don't even leave the club. And then you end up on your buddy's back porch.
Or at Maudie's after for some margaritas. That's usually my move.
Oh, the Milagro. That's the Milagro location. That's a good one. Hey, let's dive into our coach's corner. You hear what Sean Payton had to say yesterday about his quarterback, who is Russell Wilson now in Denver. We'll hear that here in a moment. All right, now let's dive into the coach's corner. It's brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. It's avconsultations.com online.
Audio Visual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
All right, Buck, so Rodney Terry, you said they've got to figure out how to start faster. And they also have to figure out what to do with Tyrese Hunter, I mean, and how to get him out of his funk. Last night he was minus 21 in the plus-minus. He was a liability when he was on the floor, really both ends. But at the end of the day, if you're Texas and you think about this, Buck, they just went through a four-game stretch, three of them on the road, where they played number 4, number 10, number 6, and number 8. Four straight games. They went 2-2. I think you'll take that. And you're still in first place in the Big 12. You're sitting at 8-3. And you need to tweak. You need to, as you just heard Rodney Terry say, figure out why they don't, when they start games, why are they turning the ball over? Why are they playing lazy with the ball to start games? That's really what turned that game last night. You know, Marcus Carr had 3 or 4 early turnovers, was not strong with the ball. Tyrese Hunter did as well. They went the other way for fast break points. The next thing you know, Kansas is up 14. Here you are again, on the road, down double digits, and you fought your way back to get it to 2, but they went on a couple more spurts and... You know, so you got to figure out how to start faster, and you got to figure out number 4. Really big picture, because he.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want what happens with Hunter to affect Marcus Carr, where he then all of a sudden becomes a guy that's handling the ball so much he becomes a dribbler again.
Yeah,
you know
you're
what
right.
I mean?
I like him off the ball.
Yes.
And we got to crawl between the guy's ears and try to figure out what's going on with him, but they need him because now look, you went 4 top 10 teams. You just played 3 on the road. You won 2 of those games. You're still in first place. You're still number 5 in the country, and now your next 4 games, Buck, you're not facing a ranked team till Iowa State. You're playing West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Iowa State, and 3 of those 4 are at home. The only one that's on the road is Texas Tech, and they're 1-9 in conference play. So, if you're Rodney Terry, you got to be sitting with your guys today saying, hey.
And they'll play like
let's go on a
like they've
record.
Got Lou Alcindor as their center
when
you get to Lubbock. You know what I mean?
Well, they will, but that's a winnable game, though. I mean, Texas has shown
they should be there at the bottom.
They have shown the ability to win on the road, without a doubt. And, you know, Texas Tech will play with their hair on fire in that game. You know it. I'm not going ahead and giving Texas a win there. But, you know, coming off a 4-game stretch where you played top 10 teams, now you're playing 4 teams that, you know, Iowa State's the only one that's ranked, and they're in your building. Got 3 of the next 4 at the Moody Center, and the only road trip is Lubbock. So, can you make some hay here? Can you be sitting at 8-3 and all of a sudden you look up and you're 12-3 or 11-4?
Well, if you're going to make some switches and try some different things, this is about the time now with these games. I mean,
well, there's enough body of work to suggest that this is maybe more than a slump for Tyrese Hunter, maybe a bad year. I mean, maybe just not going well for him right now.
And so, do you think does it bother Rice if he was a starter? I don't think so. I think he just got that.
Jabari Rice is just going to play.
Yeah.
And he didn't have his best shooting night last night, but he was still impactful in the game. He had 12 points. He had 5 assists and 5. He had 5 rebounds and a couple of assists. That's the thing. If you can have a bad night, but you still impact the game,
sure.
That's what Rice brings you. Hunter was minus 21. When he was on the floor, they were outscored by 21 points, far and away the worst for any of the Longhorns. So that's a problem. You need to get that rectified if you're Rodney Terry. So we'll take your thoughts on it. What do you do? Next up, it's West Virginia, 11 a.m. Saturday. How about Sean Payton, though? He was introduced. We found out that Sean Payton has a contract that's paying him over $18 million a year to coach the Denver Broncos. And, of course, they gave up compensation to get him. Here's an interesting question that was asked of a media member. And I want your thoughts on this, Buck. Do you think Sean Payton was playing coy here or really didn't know? Because the reporter asked him about, apparently, Russell Wilson last year in his first year in Denver had a bit of an entourage. Like he had people that were his own personal people.
Oh, not a part of the staff and stuff hanging out?
And they had parking passes and permits, and then he had a personal quarterback coach that came with him. and not Nathaniel Hackett, the coach, didn't do anything about it. Here was a go-between between the media and Sean Payton yesterday about, is that going to be allowed under your regime?
On the 30-second
Coach, Russell Wilson had a personal coach, Jake Heaps, in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
I think you can probably get a glimpse now why the team doesn't like Russell Wilson. Like, he's traveling with his entourage, he's got his own crew.
He's got his own office.
We've heard his former teammates who wanted to call, and when he was struggling, you know, Marshawn Lynch and those guys were doing that podcast, and they were talking about how, you know, they wanted to be able to call him and just, you know, lift him up.
Or they couldn't get through to him.
Yeah, they had to go through, like, a receptionist to get to Russell. It's like, who is this guy?
And then, once again, Sean Payton is going to tell those other guys, hey, listen, you better get to like him somehow. Or a bunch of you guys will be at some different places.
And then late in the season, remember there was the dust-up on the sidelines because the backup quarterback, Rippon.
Pick him off the ground?
Say, come on, because whenever he would get knocked down, the linemen wouldn't pick him up. And they wouldn't even help him up. And Rippon came over to the linemen and said, hey, can you help up the quarterback when he gets knocked down? And they almost started a fight.
Yeah, some of these things that those guys did are going to be totally different when Sean Payton gets there.
He'll be in charge. He'll be in charge. And this is interesting in Coach's Corner because I saw a lot of people, and it's accurate, comparing the resumes of Sean Payton to Mike McCarthy. And they are very similar, right, as far as win-loss record, playoff wins, Super Bowl wins. Both have one. Am I wrong in thinking Sean Payton's a better coach than Mike McCarthy? I mean, I think when I think of Sean Payton, I think of he was close to several other Super Bowls and had some really, really bad luck, which happens in football. With Drew Brees, and then Drew Brees got old and his arm strength dwindled, and they had to work around that a little bit, bringing in the Taysom Hill factor. Would you rather have Sean Payton or would you have Mike McCarthy?
Well, I'd rather have the head coach as the guy who will be in control. I mean, in Dallas, Mike McCarthy is who he is, but we know who's in control.
Jera.
Yeah.
Well, Mike McCarthy, Big Mac's taking more control, right? He's going to call plays now. He and Brian Schottenheimer.
He thinks he's in control. He thinks he's in control. He's controlled for 1 year, which they better win, or they'll all be gone. Everybody will be packing again. All your new guys who just joined the staff on that offensive group, guess where they'll be? For sale signs on their house again in 1 year.
Is it fair, though, for those who did compare the resumes of Payton and McCarthy and say, you know what, Sean Payton's a bit overrated? Or where's your thought on
it? I like him as a stern kind of guy.
I think he's a Bill Parcells disciple.
Yes.
He also competed in a weak division.
He did.
For most of his time in New Orleans.
And that's fair. And he had a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and he had Drew Brees. I get it. I think of that Rams game where the worst call in playoff history prevented them from playing in another Super Bowl. They had the Music City Miracle, the deep pass to Stephon Diggs, that, you know, miracle play that kept them out of the maybe going to another Super Bowl.
That one was their fault, though, in Minnesota.
That was. I mean, but, you know, that's a play. Sean Payton didn't dial that up. They were on the road with a chance to win that game and make one tackle, push them out of bounds. You're winning that football game. So I thought Sean Payton had his team closer more often than Mike McCarthy did. And Mike won his early. But, you know, I would take Sean Payton as my coach before Mike McCarthy. But in the end, it is accurate to say their resumes are very similar.
Yeah, and Sean Payton really wants to be in control of a lot of things. I mean, he really, really does. And I think he was getting that with the Saints. He was the guy. He just won't get that in Dallas. And he wasn't willing to stay for another year. He even probably could feel the demise of the Dallas Cowboys next year with Mike McCarthy doing that stuff. But he's not going to wait around for it.
I don't think Mike's on the hot seat.
If
they underperform to like a new standard next year, like, well, yeah, he'll get fired.
What is their new standard? Win one playoff game and then lose?
Yeah, but it's not like anything this year was his fault.
We're talking about the owner who kept Jason Garrett for 10 years.
Yeah, that too.
10 but years. How many 12-win seasons did Jason Garrett have? Mike McCarthy's had back-to-back. And
so you think he will go on with this guy for a couple more years with that?
Unless it's a catastrophic
failure.
If
they bought him out and they look like they did year one.
You know, Jerry only gets to live so long, too.
He is 80.
Who are you going to get, though? Like, who's the better option at this point?
Oh, the better option.
Is there another Super Bowl winning coach that's out there that you can just go grab?
Well, I just don't think that. I mean, the options are a guy who will go there and still not have control. And as you said, who are those options?
I mean, you could elevate Dan Quinn, but that's just a guy that's, you know, he's blown a Super Bowl.
Well, look, I think Ty's right that I think he has a chance to be there a while, but at the same time, you're right that this feels like the Joneses have tied Mike McCarthy to Dak Prescott. And if Dak continues to turn the football over and Dak Prescott, because remember, go back to the hiring process when Jerry Jones heard bells. It was about he was convinced that Dak Prescott can be a championship quarterback.
Right.
They can win Super Bowls with Dak Prescott. And each of the last 2 years when they've gotten to the divisional round against the Niners, Dak Prescott has not been good enough. And has been outplayed by Jimmy Garoppolo 1 year and then Brock Purdy the next year.
So he's putting this all on Mike McCarthy now.
And that's why Kellen Moore's out. I think the Joneses said, look, man, if you're going to be the head coach, we hired you to get this guy right. You need to be calling plays and needs to be your offense. And Kellen Moore can stay, but it's going to be your offense. And that's when Kellen Moore, you know,
and if you get beat by San Fran again or Philly.
Is there a chance that they, you know, let Dak go after the season, though? You know, finally realize that he might be the problem and it's not a coaching.
Well, that could be. That
or
could
are they
be
tied together?
Yeah, that too.
No, they'd be tied together. They'll both be gone.
But if Dak leads the league in interceptions again, I don't think he'll be the quarterback.
Well, look, if Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl and they're favored to do so, they'll be the favorites again next year in your own division.
Let's see what they decide to do with Tyron Smith and Zeke.
And Tony Pollard and Dalton Schultz.
Let's see how they handle that situation with Zeke, because he's going to take a pay cut. He's willing to take a pay cut, but how much of a pay cut is he willing to take?
But does he
should be taking a lot.
I don't mean
he should be just cut.
He has to take a pay cut, but if he were released, would anybody pick him up? Is he even effective anymore?
Yeah.
What is he? Why do you want him on your team? What does he do for you? He blocks?
He jumps into cattle, dude.
He's a good pass protector.
He can't, scored touchdowns.
He can't last 17
games. I think he's fantastic at the goal line. I think he still has a nose, but you can find one of those guys in the fifth round who has a nose for the goal line.
Yes,
and as I said, Jerry just saw those guys at the Senior Bowl. They had to see two or three running backs that can get you that 3 yards at the goal line. I mean, and you can get them in the fifth round.
I think the most likely scenario is neither Pollard or Zeke are on the team.
Please
next
don't
year.
Tell me they.
And they draft.
That's what
back.
I want.
And they keep the guy that they had this year.
You keep Malik Davis, and you
who
draft
didn't even play
guy.
When you got to those playoff games. They didn't
he
have
played.
Enough faith.
He played.
We'll be back and pick up these conversations with you. There's your Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Appreciate
maybe
it.
Saquon will end up there.
They're going to resign.
That would
Barkley.
Be going backwards.
Yeah. Why would you sign another big contract to another big running back? Draft running backs.
We're looking running for one Mike Super Bowl before the guy dies. Well, that's
are you
all?
Seeing who's in the Super Bowl here? Running back by committee. And much more salary cap friendly. You get the same production out of three guys and pay them a little bit.
I'm trying to paint a picture of it's not the quarterback. It is the quarterback.
Well, we're going to find out because Mike McCarthy is now on him. Can't blame Kellen Moore anymore.
The guru's got him now.
We'll be back. Ask Aaron Rodgers about the guru. We'll be back. Beanie on the horn.
Uncle Bucky's Tips for Kids, brought to you by Relax the Back, providing best-in-class in-home relax and sleep products to achieve a life well-lived. Visit Relax the Back Austin area stores today.
Once again, I want to thank the text message I got last night for, you know, the tip for the kids and about these wires and stuff. It worked out pretty well. As Mom said, thanks for that yesterday from all of us. To the kids about loose wires and don't. This is not the time
down
to
power lines.
Oh, don't be picking up stuff in the woods. Don't if it's a wiring on the ground. So the kids came running in, sister and brother, like don't touch that, don't touch that. And there were a number of kids with them, so they just kind of left it be. So please be careful out there. And for those who are running around being pissed off at the people that are trying to put up the power lines, that's just silly. Don't let your frustrations get you.
But, yes, they're not their fault.
No.
Not their fault.
They're trying to fix it.
I'm hoping this is
they
wrong.
They did, by the way, they didn't break it.
Yeah. And look, that's frustrating as heck. We've been out of power for a week now.
Yeah, I understand
blame
that
the tree
too.
Trimming policies.
Oh.
Exactly. A lot to blame. And hopefully Kirk Watson, our mayor, did put out they're going to do a special session tonight at the city council to judge the job performance of the Austin city manager, Spencer Kronk. Not sure what he does.
God, I hate to be at that meeting till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Yo.
I hope this is wrong. Hopefully this is fake news. Because we told you yesterday, Grammys were Sunday night, music's biggest night, and Willie Nelson won a Grammy at 90 years old. And
Bonnie
Raitt and Ozzy Osbourne, which is pretty cool. But then, is this Daily Mail in the UK had a headline that said, "Shock as unknown blues singer beats Beyonce, Adele, and Taylor Swift for Song of the Year at the Grammys." Did they really call her an unknown blues singer? Is that right? Bonnie Raitt? She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, she's got an icon award.
Bonnie Raitt, by the way, can sing it all.
All. Every one of those ladies that were mentioned, like, come on. I'm hoping that's fake news. Daily Mail.
Come on, Daily Mail.
Unknown blues singer. Clearly, she's not as popular as Beyonce, because everybody's mad that Beyonce got hosed again for Album of the Year. But, you know, come on. That went to Harry Styles. What are you going to do?
Yeah, did you hear the audio of people yelling at Harry Styles when he was up there accepting the award?
Yeah.
It was Taylor Swift situation where people were screaming at him about Beyonce.
Well, you know, that's what award shows are about. No one got slapped, though. That's good. No Will Smith.
Come on.
Because remember, when Taylor Swift won for Best Album of the Year, Kanye got all mad at Taylor Swift. Beyonce, by the way, quit your griping. She's won more Grammy than anybody ever. I don't know if we can actually criticize that. I mean, you've won more Grammys than anyone. Quit your belly aching. Okay, so that's where we sit on a Tuesday morning talking Cowboys football, Longhorn basketball. Somebody, how about this? It's name the running backs, please, that can find the goal line that you talk about. Well, look. You don't have to draft running backs high, okay? We said that over and over again. Somebody mentioned that the best Cowboys running backs ever were drafted in the first round. That's true.
Yeah, who's that dude for the Eagles, our guy Boston?
Scott?
Well, that guy getting into the end zone?
Let me just say this, because, yes, Tony Dorsett was a high draft pick. Emmitt Smith was a first-round draft pick. That is true. The best running backs ever for the Cowboys have been drafted, but they didn't play in a salary cap league. This is a cap league. So to pay a running back, which is a diminishing player, over market is going to flip your cap, and it's done it for the Cowboys. The fact that both Super Bowl teams are running back by committee and don't pay a running back much at all, they don't invest in that position. They invest in quarterback and offensive line and pass rush and the important positions. Leading touchdown scorer this year, Buck, Jamal Williams, Detroit, 17.
Fourth round pick.
Number two on the list, Austin Eckler, undrafted.
Yeah, when the New York Giants drafted Saquon Barkley, I thought that was a great pick.
Not me.
I thought, and when that happened, I said, that's a future Hall of Fame player.
That's the Penn State lover in Utah.
Yeah, no, maybe. I don't know.
We were at
Saquon
the combine
Barkley
that
was pretty
year
good. He was breaking every record possible.
We were at the combine in Indianapolis that year, and you got to see his quads, and you really fell in love with him.
He's a good player. I mean, he wasn't a scrub.
No, he looks good in shorts.
It's not about the talent of the player. It's about the position he plays and
And what have they done with him? I mean, he's been hurt a lot.
Look, when you draft a running back that high, then you have to re-sign him to a big deal. I don't think it's a wise investment. I know.
Plus, dude can't miss like 8 games in a season. I mean, he just can't. I mean, he's got to be that guy. You do that, that guy's got to play 16.
Zeke Elliott was 3.8 yards a carry this year. I know he scored 12 touchdowns, but 3.8 yards per carry, that ain't gonna do it.
No, that dude is old now. That's just the way that is.
He was also hurt.
He's still not going to do any better. He's not all of a sudden going to average 5 yards or 4 yards.
You expect him to get hurt again next year?
Yeah. I do.
That's why I said I don't want him or Pollard.
Well, who do you want, Bijan?
I want Malik Davis and go draft your running back. Doesn't matter who it is.
In the third, fourth round.
Roshan, he'd be nice.
Third round.
Good running backs are available. They are.
Yes, they are. I agree with you.
Brees Hall was a second round pick this year. He's on his way to maybe being the rookie of the year offensively before he got hurt. You know, the Texans took a guy, Damian Pierce, out of Florida in the fourth round, who's like a miniature, he's a Marshawn Lynch light.
And the Cowboys had the guy that started over him in college. So
Malik Davis, yeah.
You would think that guy, you know, has some game.
Yeah, you need a quarterback. You need to protect your quarterback.
And you need to find a way to re-sign Tony Pollard and quit messing around. Don't even jack around with that one. Re-sign Tony Pollard.
Here we go again.
No, I mean.
They drafted him in the fourth round. He turned into an explosive player. Draft another dude like that. Come on, man.
I'm more worried about, like, Leighton Vander Esch.
Let somebody else sign Tony Pollard.
Exactly. Let Miami waste that money.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Tony Pollard in Miami. Yeah, okay.
I mean, he'll probably be really good next year, but if you have to sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal where he's making $10+ million, it's not worth that 1 year where he's really good. And you're cap strapped, like Aaron was saying.
And plus those guys aren't willing to give they're not gonna give you a deal.
Tony Pollard shouldn't give you a deal.
You're going to have to move money around. If you want to sign him,
an all pro,
you're going to have to take money from other people and locate it to him.
You're going to look, as an NFL player, if you get to your fourth year and fifth year and you get to free agency,
and you've had,
you probably get that one time in your career.
That's right. And you had a, and that year like Tony Pollard. Yes.
You take advantage of it. You cash in. And if it's Miami or if it's, you
Buffalo,
know.
Buffalo, maybe. He would be so good in Buffalo.
Well, yeah. I mean, agreed. But no, look, he's not going to get what Zeke Elliott got because Zeke Elliott should have never gotten as
much.
That's
right. Well, we know that. That's for sure.
Now the only.
But it's time to cut Zeke Elliott. By the way,
the only running back that
I know people don't like to hear that word, cut Zeke. You can't cut. Yes, you can.
Look, Christian McCaffrey got a big deal, and he was injury prone, right? And that was a problem. But you saw what type of factor player he can be with San Francisco this year, and they might have been in the Super Bowl if they could have kept the quarterback healthy. Christian McCaffrey's not just a running back. We know that he's everything.
Yes.
He's an ultimate weapon. And Zeke Elliott used to be that. He's just not anymore. Tony Pollard is kind of Christian McCaffrey light. I just think you have other needs.
Ty, you don't really think you can get something out of Zeke. You can't think you're gonna, he's all of a sudden going to then average 4.5 yards a carry or 5 yards.
No, I never said that.
He's not turning back the hands of time with him. Time has caught up to him more than anything. All those carries early, it's just caught up to him.
He had more carries through 4 years than any player ever had. I mean, he was a workhorse's workhorse. But those add up over time.
Yes.
And we're seeing that with him. But again, let me say this, with Tony Pollard, to Ty's point, I would like to keep him if you're the Cowboys. I think he's a good player. But the investment may not be worth, because you have other needs. You got to re-sign Micah Parsons here coming up. You got to sign Trayvon Diggs to a long-term contract. You've got to figure out what you're doing with
Yeah, but one of your needs is to have an explosive player on your offense. They need more explosive players.
But that we're talking about. You can draft running backs. You can sign running backs in free agency on the cheap that can bring the production. I mean, look at the rushing production that the Eagles get from the three guys they've got. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Kenneth Gainwell. They're combined making like $4 million this year. But they're the leading rushing team in pro football. I mean, you don't have to have a big name at running back to run the football. You have to have a good offensive line, good scheme, good system, and you can run the ball. The Chiefs are the same way. Now,
I just can't believe all those third and fourth round guys end up working out for you to give you that kind of production.
Well, they.
I mean,
Isaiah Pacheco, he's a seventh round rookie.
Yeah, good player.
Out of Rutgers.
Rutgers, yeah. Do your homework, do your scouting, find you a guy. But you need to invest those, in a cap world, you got to invest those dollars wiser. You should have. This is why we talked about it for months and months and years. You never should have given Zeke Elliott the big contract that you did.
Well, that was nuts,
and then that's hurt you. And you know, I'm fine paying a quarterback like Dak Prescott. I just don't think Dak Prescott was the quarterback. But at the same time, that's a good place to invest your money in pro football. You have to invest in the QB. You have to invest in the offensive line to protect that QB. You have to invest in people who can rush and hit
pass
the quarterback.
Rusher, yes.
And you know,
and guys in the secondary,
and guys like Trayvon Diggs who impact the game with turnovers. This is and then you know that's what you're investing your cap space in at the highest levels.
Yeah, you made a mistake. Everybody knows they made a mistake with Zeke.
Sure,
but that was a mistake of the heart.
But that's Jerry being loyal.
Yes,
and Zeke going to Mexico, going to Cabo, and playing the game of chicken, and Jerry gave in.
I mean, at the time, you didn't really have an option though.
You did.
Oh yeah, you did.
You always have an walk.
You always have an option.
Yes, you did. Yes,
you always have an option. Always have an option.
At that position, you really, really, at that time,
well,
you did.
Well, remember, he also, that, remember, because he was trying to prove a point to Zeke, who was the average to below average middle linebacker that he gave the big contract to, the kid
Jalen
out of Notre
Smith.
Jalen Smith.
Yes.
He also gave him a big contract. So
you just
in
like
one
that
off
story.
Season, huh?
You just like the story of him coming back.
Because Jerry's an emotional general manager.
Yes, that was of the heart. All of that was of the heart.
He loved him. He's a hard worker.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Just like he's hearing bells.
I mean, you
that's a part of the heart.
Nobody's investing big money in an average middle linebacker or a running back position. It's just not the way of the NFL right now. And I'll say this again for the Cowboys. This is not to be completely negative, but with this Brian Schottenheimer hire, one of the things the Cowboys don't do very often, Buck, is go outside their organization to bring in new voices, new opinions. They promote from within over and over and over.
Go down the hall and find a coach.
Yes, because they like to do it their way. And that's such an insular way to go about things. I think it leads, part of what leads to the problems, because Jerry likes to run the show and, oh, we know him, let's just promote him from within. Look, he's right here. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of this staff that gets built, right? The new, because they did bring in Mike Solari, the O-line coach who was in Seattle with Brian Schottenheimer, because Schottenheimer recommended it and knows him. It's just a very insular organization. They don't think outside their own box that often. And I think it leads to some of the issues you see. But either way, they're now chasing the Eagles, who will play in the Super Bowl on Sunday. We'll get back into the Super Bowl media night they had last night. We'll hear some of the sound from Jalen Hurts. from Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid trying to beat his former team to win a Super Bowl. That's a pretty good storyline as well. Both top seeds. Both have had great regular seasons. First time in 5 years you got the two best teams in each conference playing for the championship on Sunday. We'll come back. More of that. More of the Longhorn Hoops team. They get through that four-game gauntlet against top 10 teams. 2-2, but lose last night. We'll continue that conversation. And coming next, T.Y. will lead us through some hot or not topics on a Tuesday morning.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Oh, here it is in hot and not. A text that says, tell me I'm wrong. Kansas freshman Grady Dick is Brad Kellner's twin brother. He does kind of look like Brad Kellner a little bit. A little bit.
Really does, between, yeah.
A little bit. Also, this, you know, I was battling with a sore throat to start the show, but I went down to the kitchen there. Throat coat, that's, Buck.
Throat coat. Ooh.
You had the tea.
I was on the throat coat for a while.
Yeah. Don't be dirty out there. But throat coat, pretty good. Working well. I'm going to get my Z-Pack after the show. I went to try to get it last night. How about this? You pull up to the Walgreens. So it's supposed to be open until 10, the pharmacy. Oh, no, we're closed. Technical difficulties.
Z-Pack is great when you start to come down with the flu, but guess what? I'll never have the flu.
It's not the flu. It's just
I'll never have the flu.
Normally when I get
flu.
This throat thing, if I take it and get ahead of it, it goes away pretty quickly. But that's the way it goes. We have throat coat pretty darn good. Also, speaking of not hot, I failed to mention this yesterday, but at the Grammys on Sunday night, you know who was not having fun if you were reading body language? Ben Affleck. Ben. He's there with Jennifer Lopez. Of course, she's sitting front row. He's sitting next to her, and he's just kind of like.
They're married now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're the real deal.
See how long that lasts.
Got a debate. Is it? I mean, cause they
used to get married again.
For a third time?
Yeah.
I think they're married now.
Yeah,
they were.
It's Bennifer, or is it B-Lo?
B-Lo.
B-Lo, or whatever. I don't know. He did not look like he was having a good time. Kind of annoyed by the whole process. Could be wrong.
Sometimes you have to go with your wife to places you just don't want to go. You know?
Yeah. Well, there she was. There he was, right there next to J-Lo on Sunday night.
Generally, those are family outings.
You know who's happy,
just
and,
go.
Happy and hot or not is Greg Olson, because Greg Olson has the lead chair at Fox right now as a football analyst next to Kevin Burkhart. Is it Kevin Burkhart? Yeah. And yesterday, on a national TV interview with Colin Cowherd, Tom Brady said he's not going to take and start his Fox job until this fall of 2024. So my man Greg Olson has like a year and a half.
Make that cash.
Make that money.
Keep doing what you're doing, and he's doing a good job
at it. Doing a great job. He's on the Super Bowl call with Burkhart on Sunday in what should be a heck of a game. Yeah, Tom Brady rolling back. But he won't be until – I think we'll see him at the Super Bowl. I think Fox will bring him in for something, either a recorded interview or something to have him – they're paying him enough money. The contract is massive. I think we'll get a little bit out of Tom Brady. T.Y., what
Devil
do you have?
Devil Egg Sunday coming up, boys.
Have you heard that
girls?
Story, Ty? Can I tell that story that sure. When you first were dating your now wife?
Yes.
You had your own halftime show?
Yes, I did.
The euphemism of deviled eggs?
Yeah, man. We had some deviled eggs, and it's going on this Sunday.
You're not
going
to watch Rihanna?
Huh?
You're not going to watch Rihanna?
Rihanna who?
Rihanna the performer?
Half-time? Yeah, she'll be at my house. Performing, yeah, hell yeah,
doing crazy stuff. No.
Remember, you used to tell me what do we have in the NFL?
Normally, halftime's 12 minutes, but
I get a little bit extra, right?
Super Bowl, it's like 20-some.
Yeah,
a lot longer.
A lot of things can happen. Hey, I'm an old man. A lot of things can happen in over 20 minutes. Lots of things.
Hey, what do they
Heart
say?
Heart attack. You know, all kinds of things can happen.
I ain't as good as I once was, but every once in a while.
Let me tell you, I'll give my best for 20 minutes. I'll tell you that.
T.Y., what do you have for us in hot or not?
LeBron James did an interview this week where he kind of just came out and said maybe being the king and being the celebrity is just too much sometimes. He said he wishes he could just take a walk outside. Wishes he could go to a movie theater and sit down and not worry about anyone coming up to him or. Go to Target and go grocery shopping or go to Starbucks. So I have to say, do you think he's, you know, kind of being a B here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like LeBron. He's the chosen one from 16 years old. But it's kind of like, what was that, Prince Harry and what's her name?
Meghan Markle.
Like, didn't they move to the United States to try to get away from all the media coverage and all they do is media? Like they're on TV like every day writing books and doing documentaries. And they came, they said they were trying to get away from it.
Well, I mean, they just asked him a question. I mean, yeah, I would think you were sick
of a lot
like
of famous people.
No,
they didn't ask him this question. He just brought this up.
Well, but he'd like to go somewhere. How about just going somewhere without somebody pointing at you? Or
he's one of the most noticed, recognizable people on the planet. And that just comes with his success. And he's about to break the all-time scoring mark this week. But if you're LeBron James living in Cleveland or Akron, where
you've been
probably
doing that forever.
I mean, he's playing with the Cavs. You probably could have some privacy in Akron. You moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah, no privacy there.
No, it's L.A.
You wanted to be a mogul there.
And he wanted to be a mogul. Wanted to make movies and, you know, movie director and that producer, everything. You can't do that and then say that. I mean, come on.
Poor LeBron.
Man, Meghan Markle, you can't try to get away from all the press and then all you do is press. Right? That's wrong. All right, here we go. This says Grady Dick also looks like Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
Don't say that. He killed the Longhorns last night,
boy,
that for sure. His 21 points were huge. He had some big threes late. We'll recap it. Longhorns fall at Lawrence. The fog was too much. We'll get you details and Rodney Terry's response to it. It's B&E on the Horn.